He's very involved in Māori health and well-being, and we're going to have a bit of a kōrero with him right now. Kia ora, Matu.
Kia ora, Shane.
Hey, thank you very much for calling, Matu. Matu, tell us about your sphere of work and the projects that you're working on at the moment.
Yeah, so a pretty exciting time for us here at the university. Mm. I work at the university as their Māori communications advisor, and one of the things that we've been very excited about speaking about today in particular is this record Māori health professional cohort that's set to graduate this academic year, the biggest we've ever had, the biggest across all of our professional programs, and then of course that's spearheaded by our largest ever group of Māori doctors who are graduating this year. So a very exciting time for us here at the university, and a real sign of some of the important mahi that's being done behind the scenes from a number of rōpū to see this happen and to see the fruits being born now for a good 12 years or so is amazing.
And, you know, this, you have to build this over a number of years, Matu? It just doesn't happen overnight. And you've got to get your institution on board. How long ago did you set up this journey to get to this point?
Oh, this has been years in the making. I think our previous largest cohort was about 46, I think, back in 2016. But in terms of this partnership, it's been well over 10 years between the Ministry of Health and the Māori Health Workforce Development Unit at the university. And they together have worked on a number of strategies to really try and increase the number of Māori medical and health professionals that we graduate to really help with what we need to be seeing in the community, which is more Māori in a number of different health professions that are working to, I guess, create equity and also just to provide that safety for our whānau and our iwi out there in the community as well, and to know that they'll be culturally looked after. You know, that's something that is often quite overlooked, as the whakaaro around safety for our whānau, and knowing how negatively steered the statistics are for us. It's now more important more than ever to find ways to increase equity, and so these strategies, including the one that's been spoken about a wee bit in terms of the Miraon Society to help more Māori get through to those programs, has borne incredible fruit. You know, well over hundreds and hundreds of Māori health professionals have come through, and that's set to get even bigger every year. But you know, while it's exciting to look at the future, of course it's also really important to acknowledge the present, and also to whakaaro and to karanga to the groups of the past as well. So,
Matthew, I'll tell you what, it's been a week of ongoing celebration for our whānau. We've got one of the young men that have been studying down in Otago, I think, for about 4 or 5 years. And you'll know him well. He's a very bright guy, Te Awanui. Waka, who you know, started with a Bachelor's of Science in Anatomy, and moved into pharmacy. So not only sort of mainstream medical, but you know, those offshoots that are really important, because we know that there's a limited number of Māori doctors, but also those other high-end medical positions as pharmacists, physiotherapists, etc. And I think it's really important to tell the success stories, isn't it?
Tika, and there are others, dentistry, you know, these other sort of areas where, you know, Māori are so under, you know, they're overrepresented in negative health stats. I was talking to the new Associate Dean Māori for dentistry only a week or two ago, and he was telling me some pretty sobering statistics that by the age of five, a New Zealand child will have on average half a rotten tooth.
Yeah.
And that number increases to 3.5 for Māori children.
Yep.
And so, you know, what can we do there to tautoko, you know, chances to decrease that level? And it comes down to more representation, more understanding, and more safety, again, for our tauira. So yeah, really important to hear of more dentists, more physios, like you've mentioned, more pharmacists who come through, not only that are Māori, but then can operate very safely in a cultural environment to help the DHBs and the wards that they're going into as well. So everybody benefits.
So much, you know, I'm in my mid, I'm a middle-aged mighty man. Yeah, I read a story today about a young woman. She's a kipper, and a older Māori man getting very emotional. First time she'd ever met a Māori doctor. I thought, a little unusual, because you do come across Māori doctors, but I suppose in many of our smaller towns you may not. But you know what, Machu, I've never ever met a Māori dentist in a professional capacity. Excuse the pun, but they're as rare as hen's teeth, aren't they?
Yeah, there's a bit of a gap, a gap to fill, you could say.
That's
exactly right. And I think I remember speaking to a couple, this was about 2018 now, who were coming through our foundation studies program, and they were looking to become, she was looking to become a dentist just so that she could go back to her iwi and help, because, like you say, I think there are a lot of, you know, there are a lot of Māori that are now working on wards who go through placement and things, and they look around and they don't see any other Māori. And I think that's only then that they really understand the significance of the mahi that they're doing. And so I think it's quite, you know, obviously it's really awesome to have those aspirations to look after your iwi, but it's not until you're actually in the system that you realise just how, I guess, how few people there are, but then also how much of an amazing opportunity is to make such a big difference through yourself. So it's cool to see that there are more dentists coming through, and more importantly, they're going to those areas now that need them and can go and are able to sort of absorb them and to get as much out of them as they can, and to provide safety for things like kura as well. Because I've heard of some kura that you know, weren't quite happy with some of the dentists that were coming in to do the mahi for them in the kura, so they stopped. So they stopped doing it for 10 years. And so that's 10 years worth of kura kids that have missed out on free dentistry in their school. So, again, really important for a cultural point of view, but also just to help as many of our tauira and our tamariki as possible.
And the practical experience we've had with our older children, still under 18, is that, you know, we forget that they are entitled to basic health, health hygiene and health, dental health until they're 18. But my gosh, trying to get an appointment, I know that's been COVID, but, you know, I just wanted my son to have a sort of a clean and have a bit of a looks around. This is just our experience. The same doctor to get on the normal waiting list was 4 months, but if I had said to him, "Well, we'll just pay for him," you know, you can get in a day or two. They'll just find it. But that's just the experience, isn't it? The service might be free, but availability and the lack of cultural connection really does have an impact on our people.
It comes down, Shane, to that key word, which is access.
Yeah,
and that access comes down to cultural relationships and that whanaungatanga between the kura and the dentists, you know, and that comes down to an innate understanding of what sort of ao that those tamariki are living in. You know, it's not just kids who are there to tick a box and they're getting it as an obligation. It's what are the, you know, why are they shy about coming? Why are they not booking in? Why are we not going to their kura? Why are we not doing it to make it as easy as possible for our tamariki to get this stuff done in a safe way, in a culturally safe way, and you know, doing what we can to reduce those statistics that I mentioned around the 3.5 bottom teeth. So there are heaps of things that need to be done, and hopefully through this new cohort and cohorts to come, we'll see those numbers decrease and do what we can really to play a part in having more around and more culturally capable health professionals in the New Zealand system.
So you've got 60. In this year's cohort, you're looking at 100 in the next year or so. But, you know, what were the fundamental building blocks in terms of identifying students? Do you start at high school, the brightest of the best, or even people that may not be at the top of the academic sort of structure, but have a passion for it? What's the first connection, and how do you build from there, Machu?
Yeah, so I guess when it comes to admissions into the programs, we have a very clear program called the Te Kaua Parawa, which is around kind of a promotion of equity policy when it comes to entrance, you know, from a whole range of backgrounds that are very inequitably represented in our health stats. So we're looking at obviously Māori, we're looking at Pacific, people from who are in rural areas of New Zealand, refugee background, a number of these different groups that we do see quite overrepresented in our negative health stats. And so when it comes to their pathway through medicine, there are heaps of different ways, but the first sort of instance is through a number of our little kind of programs that come through at high school. So they have what's called things like on-campus experience, where they can come down and have a look and understand what the programs are like. And then they can have a real small understanding through small scholarships and things like that about what's required here at the university. So then they'll go through what they call health sciences first year. And that's a massive, massive competitive year. That's where all of the students who are looking to get into things like medicine, dentistry, physio, they have to go through that first year and get a certain sort of grade. And for Māori, and you know, for those other groups, those priority groups that I've mentioned, Māori, Pacific, refugee, or former refugee, I should say, and you know, rural background and such, there is a different sort of alternative pathway that they can choose, which allows them to understand the importance of why they're going through that pathway, and that's of course to increase our equity. So it's a slightly different pathway, but still has a very important a different tikanga about it in terms of working towards a different system, a more equal system, a more just system. So they sort of go through that Te Kauai Parawa program, and so they'll then basically work alongside a lot of our different rōpū, like our Māori students work with the likes of the Māori Health Workforce Development Unit and Kōhatu. And from there, I guess it's just about supporting the tauira along the way. And obviously, they might switch from one program to another along the way. But what you also see is some really beautiful stories about tauira who have really struggled to figure out who they are and what they want to do, and come through those programs and realise that not only are they doing this for them, they're doing this for their people and Kawero and Kaikohe and all sorts of parts of the country that we don't really hear too much about.
Well, in fact, and again, just identifying what the reality is for places that I come from. You know, you've got a young physiotherapist that went all the way from Kawero to Otago, went home, did placement, and you know, and the local hauora has a trained physiotherapist that's from home, that's got that connection, got that whakapapa, and got that, and so it does help. It does help in that workforce development that's so important, connecting our people, Matthew.
It's important, and it's also a bit of, I think it can come as a bit of a shock because you see, you know, like I think this person goes back into the health system and then their whānau, their hāpōri turn around and go, oh, hello, didn't expect to see you here in this sort of space. And so it creates opportunity for our rangatira or our pōpō to see, again, you know, that not only do you have to take all these different pathways, but you can come from Kawero, you can go to Otago, get this incredible degree, and then come back and help your people.
Exactly.
Which is something that you so want to do. So that's really important, and it's not just available to people from Auckland and Wellington and
Christchurch.
All of the country.
Hey, Matthew, thank you for your mahi. Thank you for assisting our people in terms of workforce development, in terms of getting into careers that are really important and will add some real positiveness in terms of not only today's generation as we go forward. So thank you very much for joining us, and thank you very much for your mahi.